Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Again, you are listening to your favorite blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. And we have a very special guest that has taken the time to come onto this show and talk with you, the listeners, but also maybe talk a little bit of MMA with yours truly. Truly excited about having this guest on. But before we start, just to give a plug in, this is the first time I can honestly say on this show, y'all have been following me since the inception. It's been mostly affiliate promotions. Those have always been fun. For the first time ever, your favorite blockhead has his very first sponsor for the show, and that is podcorn.com. Guys, since I've been doing podcasting, other than keeping your show authentic and making sure you get a weekly show out, what types of different platforms you're going to use, the other question I always get asked, how do you monetize your show? How do you get sponsors to come to the table? And it's always been a difficult answer until now. The answer for online sponsorships for podcasting and brands is here, and it is podcorn.com. It is the online marketplace where brands and podcasters alike can come together, and you, the podcaster, can send in your pitch, whether you want to do a host read ad for a pre-roll, maybe you want to do topical discussions, or even have a review of the products with the merchant themselves. You can set all of this up on podcorn.com. You'll see the link today in the blog for your favorite blockhead. Make sure you go check out that link, or you can check them out anywhere across the internet. It is podcorn.com, not popcorn, podcorn.com. The online experience for you to gain sponsorships for your podcast. It used to be so draining that we have to hit at least 10,000 downloads per episode. Not everybody out there is the Joe Rogan experience, but I can say now, us common man podcasters, we can be finally heard by sponsors for our little podcast to get out there. And that's how you do it with podcorn.com. Now that I've shared that, guys, this gentleman that's coming on tonight has been extremely helpful in the podcasting world to other podcasters, but he has a gimmick just like your favorite blockhead. If you watched Peanuts comic strip, Lucy would go up to the psychiatric booth and turn the sign and say, "The doctor is in." Well, that's who we have tonight. We have Phil Bird, also known as the podcast doctor. I even have to say, like Doctor Who, the doctor is in. I'm even tempted to say, what's up, doc? And all those gimmicks and the like being said, I bring you the one and only podcast doctor, Mr. Phil Bird. Doc, what's going on, man?
That is probably the best introduction that I have ever seen and or heard ever. Michael Buffer, who?
Touche. Well, it does bring me a lot of delight, I'll admit, Doc, to be able to say that, hey, I got a guest on. And you know, it kind of gets me really psyched to be able to say, one, I'm not having to fly solo all the time, but I've got a chance to have some of my own favorite people that I can spend time with on this show. And you're one of them that I started getting introduced to. And I admit it, if I start introducing you, then I am going to flub it up. So can we just start from the beginning about where your career was, where you started doing a podcast, Doc, that actually led and evolved into where you are today? Take us back to the beginning, man.
All right. So back when I was a really, really young kid, I used to have a really bad speech impediment. Okay. So I would stutter and stammer like crazy. So I would get, you know, teased and picked on and, you know, made fun of like pretty much my entire, you know, young childhood. And so where I'm getting at with that is what helped me was listening to radio. So I fell in love with guys like Howard Stern or Casey Kasem, even though I shouldn't have been listening to Howard Stern when I was, you know, 6 years old.
But we knew.
Yeah. So, you know, I was listening to Howard Stern. And so I started to mimic them, mimic their cadence and how they spoke. And that kind of helped me, along with, you know, therapy, that helped me get rid of my stutter. And then I realized, I was like, you know, I really like public speaking. And so I started to do public speaking at 8, 9 years old. And I was like, I really like radio. And so I was actually doing podcasts before podcasts or even the term podcast even existed. I was sitting there with a tape player recording myself talking to my friend. You know,
I don't mean to interrupt, style. But it's after you finish the story, you can turn the tape cassette over and record your own story. I'm sure you filled up side B just like yours truly did.
Oh, yeah, exactly. See, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so I kept doing that forever. And then, you know, once I actually, you know, got into adulthood, and I realized that, man, I'm in a stupid job. I've been doing this job forever. I want to try something. And so my wife told me, she's like, you know, go for your dream. Go, you know, go do radio. I'm like, okay. So I went to broadcasting school, busted my butt during broadcasting school. I graduated right. Top of my class.
Nice.
And the day of graduation, I got a call from one of the local radio stations here while I was walking. And so I had my phone in my hand. I was like, because you know, back then you recognize the radio station's phone number.
That means something.
Yeah. So I'm like, I have to take this phone call right now. Yeah. So I got, I eventually got my internship there. So, you know, that's how you get into radio stations. So I interned at the radio station for about a year. And right. then I got a job at the sports station that's a part of the whole, it's iHeart now and over here in Orlando, but it was Clear Channel back then.
Sure.
So I got a job over at the sports station across the hallway, and I did that for a couple of years. But then our show kind of blew up. I guess you can say it kind of went viral.
Sure.
And so,
the equivalent of that time period would be going viral. Yeah.
Yeah. So we actually got picked up by ESPN. So we went over, we moved over to ESPN. Nice. Nice. Over here in Orlando. So we were at ESPN from about 2016 to the end of last year. And so, you know, Brian, you know, when you realize your dream and you actually get there, I was like, man, I'm 26. I'm doing everything that I love. Now what?
Now what?
Right.
You do ask that question. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm thinking in my head, I was like, man, I should have aimed a lot higher. You know? And so, you know, I'm doing the radio stuff for, you know, a few years. And then I could tell where the market was going. And to actually back it up a little bit, I skipped a whole part of my life here. Before I even went to broadcasting school, I started doing podcasts. So this is maybe 2009. 2010.
Right. When the term podcast was so minuscule in people's minds.
It was fresh.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like,
podcast? The heck is that? Is that food?
Exactly. Yeah.
Is it a fishing term?
I guess. It's like now you realize who you're trying to educate. It's
true. Yeah. And so I'm a really big car fan. So I love automobiles. I love cars. That's one of my favorite hobbies. And so I started a car show called Backseat Drivers. And at the time, it went viral. It blew up because A, there wasn't that many podcasts around, and B, the content was good, but my episodes were trash. If you ever, you know, they're not around anymore. The show is gone.
Right, but that is a unique concept, and definitely at this point, I can see how that could catch on with the community that does follow the rhetoric that goes on from Backseat Driving. I get it. I can see how that would work.
Yeah, so it was a mix between comedy and automobile sports. And so we would actually go out and do events and all this other stuff. So I was like, well, how do we make a radio show that's basically based off of something that's visual? How do you make that exciting? And so, you know, we were really, really interactive. And so we were actually at one point in time, we had more downloads than Car Talk.
So, oh wow.
Yeah. And so that's when my wife was like, hey, you need to go ahead and go to school so you can get your internship to the radio station. So that's kind of how I started. And so I started doing podcasts back in 2010, you know, all the way up to my career at ESPN. And so, which takes me there. And so what happened was I could see where the trend was going, because podcasting was, this is the new form of media.
Sure.
And I don't know if you realize a lot of radio people, they kind of are kind of stuck in their ways.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of where, I don't mean to just interject, but I can say that during that time is that, you know, blogging was a time period where it was really blowing up on the internet, but then having a podcast and a blog was really becoming the perfect marriage during that time period. But as you look at it now, 10 years later, look how much it has continued to evolve. So you definitely saw the trend that was happening. And sure enough, that means there's more like us that used to just depend on side two of those cassette tapes. And, you know, you're like yours truly missed the train that took you to the radio broadcast, but you have that. So you've got some really good tools in your box at this point. You're one of the OGs of the podcasting world, man.
Yeah. And it's crazy that how fast time has gone by, because I don't even think it was even that long. I just had an old post, you know, your timeline on Facebook. I saw one of my old post of a screenshot of my downloads, and I'm like, dang, like I wish we could do that nowadays. But yeah, like, so with the radio stations is that terrestrial radio is almost like an antiquated technology now, if you think about it, you know.
True.
Because with podcasting, why it's so great is because you can literally reach the world in an instant. You can find whatever show that you want to on demand anytime you want to listen to it. And then you have a whole entire library if they have archived episodes, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so you have all these different people's point of views, and you can go into a completely niche market. I mean, look at your show. You have
exactly,
you're talking about peanuts and in the bay.
Evel Knievel couldn't make the leap that I make, but somehow I'm able to use that this medium that is my internet superhighway. You're right. But you get the idea. We all get a chance to be pioneers out here and work this whole podcasting thing. So I have to concur with that.
Yeah, and it's therapeutic, you know, because some people need that outlet, you know, because, you know, some people work so hard, some people grind. We have single mothers out there that are busting their butts for their kids, or you have dads out there working 100-hour weeks. Some people need an outlet, and podcasting is perfect, you know. You're comfortable with your own self, and you get to express yourself, and I just feel like podcasting is the way to go. And so I pitched all of these ideas to the radio station years ago. So this is back in 2015. I pitched all these, and they're like, no, podcasts aren't going to go anywhere. This is literally what they told me. They told me podcasts weren't going to go anywhere. And so I'm like, okay. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So what I decided to do back then, that's when I started the Podcast Doctors in 2015, but I didn't call it the Podcast Doctor. I just call it Phil's Podcasting Service, right? And so it was a very, very soft opening, because, you know, we didn't have the type of equipment that we do now, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I had to use my old mixer and all this other stuff and carry that around. You know, nowadays people buy the Rodecaster Pro and boom,
right,
you got everything.
Exactly.
You know? And so I was helping people out from 2015, but I just couldn't develop, I couldn't devote that much time to it, because I had my ESPN job and I had two other jobs. So fast forward to last year, 2019, back in August, I was honestly, Brian, I was unhappy at ESPN.
You know, wow.
We weren't getting paid what we should have been getting paid. We were in the number one time slot for that time. If you want to look at my shirt, this is the show that I was on. I was on the Kevin Sutton show, and so, I mean, you may have heard of him.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But like, we, you know, we got so many people that were, we carried that station legitimately. We carried that station. And the sad part is that, you know, we didn't get the respect that we wanted. So all three of us on the show, we all decided that we weren't going to renew our contracts.
Wow. That right there, I don't mean to intervene, but that should be a wake-up call for anybody that's listening in the podcasting world. This man worked for ESPN, and he wasn't happy. And this idea of podcasting has fallen on deaf ears. So what is he doing? He's literally changing the landscape. I hope you're hearing this, Blockhead Nation, and I hope the others in the podcasting world can hear this, because this is motivating. This is inspiring. But let that, and while you're chewing on that, we're going to let the doc continue. So continue to consult us, sir.
Yeah, and so we were all unhappy, and so all three of us collectively decided that we weren't going to renew our contract, you know, and we were nervous, honestly. We were nervous. Like, what are we going to do? I mean, this was our lives, like, literally, you know. Kevin, the host, he's got it tattooed all over his arm. You know what I'm saying? This was it.
Yeah.
This was our path.
That's your bread and butter. Exactly.
Yeah. And so we were like, okay, well, what are we gonna do? And then I just decided, you know, I had the idea for the podcast actor. It's always been in my head.
Right.
You know, I wanted to help people be able to express themselves, because I know what it meant to me as a child to be able to follow people that I liked, and that helped me speak. And I know nowadays you can't even tell that I even had a speech impediment.
Wouldn't even know.
Yeah. So I want to help people, because I want to help people get their vision out there, but also with the podcast doctor, I want to help businesses too. That's one of the main reasons why I decided to do it, because coming from radio, I know how much money these small businesses would be dumping into radio sponsorships and they weren't getting the return on investment. Let me tell you, Brian, some of these places, they wouldn't even talk to you unless you had $5,000 a month, and they weren't offering anything.
Let that sink in, guys. But and therefore, that's why you've been inducted easily into the Blockhead Nation here. It's not a hard application process, but again, just your vision and your willingness to help people. But again, that toolbox that you got, this is what we need to hear, because I got guys that might be listening right now that are on the edge of doing a podcast. I've got some that are about to do their startup. They need to hear this. So this is intriguing stuff, Doc. I'm telling you, I'm getting goosebumps just listening to you. Please continue.
well, okay. So I officially launched the podcast doctor back in August, okay. Right? Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, Brian, I did not know how much I was needed. I didn't even have, you see the logos back here. I didn't even have my logo ready when I launched. I just had a picture of my face doing this.
Yeah. Like
on the page, because I was just like, let me just create the page just in case.
Something to go with the brand and the domain, kind of concoct and put together. Yeah.
Yeah. So like my logo wasn't even ready or anything like that. I'm like, okay. And so I joined all of the podcasting groups, even though I've been there for a while, but
right.
I never really focused on it, because marketing is one of the big things that I'm really good at as well, because I had to do it all for ESPN.
Sure.
You know? And so I kept seeing a trend in a lot of these groups. A lot of people were asking the same questions, and a lot of people were answering the questions, but they weren't giving them good information. So they were giving them awful information, or they were telling them things that would damage them as a podcaster, or they would say things that would discourage somebody from podcasting. And that's my number one rule. I will never discourage anybody from starting a podcast. I will never want to stifle your vision. You know what I'm saying?
Praise the Lord on that one. Yes, I'm with you on that. It's one of the, I'm not saying it's anybody should, everybody should go with it, but it's one of those, if you're going to go into a podcast, I've always told them this, are you willing to stick with this? Because I've seen a lot of them go through what you know that's called pod fading. They come and they go, or they get in and they go, well, I thought I would make some money on this. I'm like, well, You're trying to get the cart before the horse. You haven't worked on your brand. You haven't built your audience.
Thank you.
We do want to get you to the monetization, but the hard work pays off. The tortoise beats the hare every time in the story, last time I checked. But that's kind of just the basics of what I have. And when I learn stuff, I share them with them too. But I go, are you in this for the long haul? Do you really want to do this? Because it might have to start out as a hobby. You are going to have to pay into it a little bit in the beginning, but the payoff itself leads to, rewarding things like what's happening right now. The fact that I have the podcast doctor with me, and I don't take that for granted. I would just hope that those that are listening, especially the Blockhead Nation, heed these words tonight, guys. It's a slow roast to be able to have a great show. And therefore, again, I keep interrupting the consultation. Doc,
Brad, you're fine. But I mean, you did hit the nail on the head there. And so one thing that I do when I do have my consultations is that I do ask a couple of questions, obviously just to get a feel of what's the reason why you want a podcast. And so sometimes I'll be real with people. Like, I don't really sugarcoat things, but I'm not an a-hole, what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
But I do tell people, don't expect to make money right off the bat unless you already have 50,000 followers. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So don't expect that. And if you're only getting into the podcast game to make money, it's going to be difficult. Okay. And I tell people that it takes hard work, sacrifice, and dedication. Being successful at a podcast is another job.
Yes.
It's not just getting a microphone and talking. You have to do marketing. You have to do website building. You have to do social media. You have to do graphic design. You have to do audio editing. You have to have good equipment. You have to do all of these things in conjunction with one another to actually be successful.
Right. And now I feel like I'm bringing up the rear here a little bit, because I'm like, man, I need to step up my game. There's other things I need to be telling people about this, but that's why they go to the doctor nonetheless. I'm like, but I totally agree with you. It's just kind of one of those, man, now I need to kind of work on my website design and crap.
but you see something, there's one thing that I did not mention. Okay. The one thing that I did mention is your content has to be good.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can have all those other tools that I mentioned, but if your content isn't good, people aren't going to listen.
No, they'll listen one time, but they won't return you.
Exactly. And so what I do tell people, even if they don't have, some people, are on a budget, obviously,
exactly.
Most people are on a budget.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
So if they're on a budget when they want to do podcasting, I try and tell them to focus on your content first, before even looking at equipment. So get everything down pat that you want to talk about first. But a lot of people are, what's the word, hesitant to just pull the trigger. And I try and tell people, look, before you even buy anything, just take your phone out and record. Just record something, because when I first started doing radio, I used to get scared, man. Mm-hmm. Even though I was this charismatic, energetic person who would talk to people, do public speaking in front of hundreds of people. But when I sat down in front of the radio, I'd be like, hello.
There's something about that blind audience, man. They have some serious muscle power sitting across from you. You don't know who your reach is going to be. I mean, yeah, it's getting a little better with looking at data and analytics on who's following you and your demographics. You can trace all that, but you never know who's listening to you, who's subscribed to your show. I mean, that still surprises me to this day. But yes, you're reaching a blind audience, and you are hoping that something sticks. And again, if you're authentic about it and consistent enough and you're passionate enough, it's funny how they keep coming back. But again, we find out where your heart is, the how long you stay in the podcasting game. I hate to even call it a game, but at least to be part of this community and continue to put shows out, it does say a lot about who you are when you look at the longevity.
True, true, true. And it's definitely reps. Like, reps will help you. So, obviously look at a bodybuilder. He does 50 reps. He's going to build that muscle.
Yes.
So just continuing to talk, continuing to do a podcast, even if your stuff is not very good in the beginning, you will develop a skill.
Yes.
It's just like any other skill. Talking is a skill. especially your show, Brian, because you do a solo, and that is not easy. That is not easy, because a lot of people do shows where they bounce off of another, or they have a co-host or multiple
round tables. Yeah, which and you find that niche too. It's fine. It's just one of those. I tend to fly solo until I have a guest. That's true. But you're right. A lot of the best shows out there, even the Joe Rogan Experience, he's got guests and he's got a co-host. He's got Brendan Schaub. He's bouncing off of people. I mean, it's true. Every once in a while, he'll fly solo, but not that often. It does amaze me how few shows out there do carry it all by themselves. But, you know, I'll take that as a feather in my cap.
No, definitely. You take that feather, man. You wear it, because that is a crown, because it is not easy to do a show by yourself. And I wouldn't even want to do a show by myself, you know, because a lot of my content, I like to play off of other people's emotions. I like to play off of other people's reactions and stuff like that.
Sure,
and so that's kind of how I can kind of steer a conversation. You know, and so props to you, Brian, because it is extremely difficult. And once you start to do it by yourself over and over and over again, you realize that, man, I'm actually a pretty good speaker, you know, and so you develop that skill, you develop those reps. So your podcast muscle, you know, it's getting bigger.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, dog. It's definitely one of those. But that's also the truth about me is that. No, knowing that I can fly solo and I've done my show like this, I still have to have my humblers, though, because even though I might be doing well, it's one of those, hey, don't let that go to your head. You know, the good Lord himself gave you a talent to be able to work with this and be able to reach others and continue on that part. Yeah, you're right. I'll take the crown. But then again, it's not the crown. And point being, I do enjoy flying solo. But you're right. There's definitely the way when you have an interview, I'm nervous if I'm going to serve the guest well enough, if I'm going to be a gracious host, that's still there. I will give you that. But again, it's nice to know that I'm just one of the rarities out there. Even though this might be a niche podcast, even though this is one that's more, it's got a playfulness to it. It's got some education and some entertainment thrown in there. It's a nice little melting pot that happens. It's still nice to know that it's noticed by guys who have been in the trenches like you, as long as you have. That is edifying. I do appreciate that, Doc.
Yeah, no problem, man. This is why I love podcasting, because I wouldn't have found any of these shows, you know what I'm saying, if I didn't just explore. And that's one of the other tips that I do give people, is just to explore. If you're thinking about starting a new podcast, go to the category you think your podcast is going to be in, and then just start listening to shows. I don't steal all their ideas, obviously, but just listen to the shows and listen to how they're kind of done and all that stuff, just to kind of get an idea of, okay, you know, I like how this show does this, or I like how this guy does this. And then you start to develop your own style.
Exactly. And that's what the world wants to hear. They want to hear your style. I mean, you can pay homage to somebody else, or you can use quotes in there, but they're at the end of the day, once again, you're not going to find another show that will take peanuts and MMA and make it work in a show. You're not going to find that often. That's a pretty rare thing. But again, it's just one of those, don't go out and try to be somebody else that's out there. I know that seems so cliche, but it's what we're saying is authenticity and consistency is be you, but be you on a consistent basis. And it's nice, though, that you and I are singing the same tune.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and you mentioned one of my other key words that I tell people is consistency.
Yes.
And so once you, because we are creatures of habit, just as humans, we are creatures of habit. So once you actually find a show that you like, you're going to listen to it. So let's just say your show gets released Monday nights at 9, right? And so your fans or your subscribers, they're going to be wanting to hear your show Monday nights at 9. And then once you start to miss weeks or every other week.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Or if it's not consistent, once they start to get in the habit of not listening to your show, you've lost them forever.
Agreed. Yes.
So one thing that I do tell people is please, please, please be consistent with your content. And so don't be afraid. If you have something already locked and loaded, release it simply because you want to get your listeners and your subscribers on a habit. And so they're going to be expecting that notification that, oh, you know, your favorite blockhead was released today. Okay, I'm going to download it. You know, so once they start to see that, oh, you missed a week, oh, you missed 2 weeks, oh, you missed 3 weeks, they're going to be like, well, what happened? And so they're still going to need to fill that content time.
Exactly.
So they're going to find something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so then you lost them forever. So please, 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 one of the tips I tell people is be consistent. Even if you don't think you hit the nail on the head with this episode, it's better than to not have an episode.
Exactly. Yep. And that makes it to where some of us, yes, we can be our own worst critic, but golly, publish it at this point. Have one up there, and just if you go, you know, you can even come back and be somewhat apologetic. You know what, guys? I don't feel like my last show really was my best crowning moment that I can give you. But I'm going to strive to give you the best I can this week. And they appreciate that. I mean, I can remember telling my kids that I teach in the classroom is that one of the things that most people know John F. Kennedy for one thing, unfortunately, but what they should know is his biggest failure and his biggest success. His biggest failure is the Bay of Pigs fiasco, but he went in front of the public and he actually took responsibility and said that I take the blame for making the decisions that I did. And the respect that Kennedy had after that just skyrocketed. And then you lead right into his greatest moment, which is called the Cuban Missile Crisis. So I don't want to go into all the details of history, though, which I could. I'll save that for another podcast.
We could. Yeah, save that for. I love history. That was one of the few subjects in school I was really good at.
Yeah. So. Well, then you and I need to definitely talk more because, you know, I'm already rubbing my hands at this point. The other one I throw in is U.S. history. I'll just put it out there. Since you know that I love Peanuts so much, there is a TV series that they did that was called This Is America, Charlie Brown. And I've been doing those episodes, only I've been calling them This Is America, You Blockhead. I give respect to the actual show. I make sure they know what episode it comes from. I've done one on Kitty Hawk. I've done one on the Transcontinental Railroad. I've done one on the Mayflower Voyage. The next one coming up, since we just had the anniversary of the Challenger explosion, is going to be, that's a free plug to myself, is going to be This Is America, You Blockhead, Episode 4 about the NASA space station. So something to look forward to.
Awesome.
But yeah, and again, that's just because, one, I'm not Charles Schulz, but I do love what he did. And I go, look, there's more to him than just the Christmas episode and the Great Pumpkin. Okay, there's way more to him than that. And I appreciate that people watch the Peanuts during the holidays. But I go, there's so many other TV episodes and so many comic strips. They got turned into episodes on TV that had such a subtle message. And I try to just educate people where I can, where those were. And so that's one of them that I definitely need to go into is discussing the NASA space station. But yeah, there never really was one about Kennedy except when they were in the Smithsonian Institution and they talked about, you know, Kennedy's being killed, and they talked about Martin Luther King. And they also talked about one about the music that evolved over time. So those are all in there, but there wasn't a specific one to them. And here I am going off on a tangent, but nonetheless, that's just about enjoying. That's the part of just enjoying my show. And I'm like, hey, when I say that I'll do Peanuts, then that's something you can expect. But that's just a free plug. Coming soon will be the NASA space station episode.
Question for you. Are you your student's favorite teacher?
I don't know if that's always the case, because the truth is, in middle school, it's hard to know what teacher they like every single day, because they're as fickle as the wind. That's why I tell people I'm a teacher by day, I'm a podcaster by night. But then again, here I am earlier getting my hair cut, and I was enjoying talking with the stylist about just some of the middle school stories that you get. So sometimes I got to be careful with that, too, is that, you know, when you're an educator and you have a podcast, you still kind of live in a fishbowl. You still have the chance that, oh, your students might come across your show. And it's fine. It's just one of those, at least you'll know I do clean content. Now, if I was going to do explicit, then I would change this C to an E. Simple change on the podcasting platform. And again, you understand the rhetoric I'm using right now. But this is where I kind of let my hair down and I fly solo and I get to enjoy it. But it includes you, Doc. It includes anybody else that comes in. So while I've got you, I've gone off on the Peanuts. Is there a cartoon, just to have some fun, is there a cartoon series or something from your childhood that you were a major fan of that you want to take the time on, whether it's Teenage Ninja Turtles or Ghostbusters or something? Let it rip if you got one.
All right, so I was born in 1987.
Okay.
So I was all for the early 90s, mid-90s mm-hmm. cartoons, Saturday morning cartoons. So first one that comes to mind, X-Men animated yes. series, you know. All the Nickelodeon shows. I loved Doug.
I loved
Rugrats. Dude, one of my ringtones is banging on a trash can, and you know,
drumming on a street light.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I had the Beats wallpaper.
The Beats wallpaper. Two reckless worlds have collided, and now we're talking Nickelodeon. You're singing my tune again, man.
Exactly. Yeah, and so of course I was a huge Ninja Turtles fan. So sure. I want you to guess who was my favorite one. Go ahead and guess.
Favorite. Well, that could be hard to analyze. Just kind of from what I've got to know you, I will say when it comes to the most playful one, which a lot of people enjoyed the most, I would say you are somewhere between two people. I would say when it comes to the side of knowing audio engineering and being into podcasting, I would put you somewhere between the playful side of Michelangelo, but also the scientific side of Donatello. Am I somewhere close here?
Okay. You are right on the head. So it's Donatello and Michelangelo.
Oh yeah, and so you got to have both of them for it to work. I'm like, you can't be serious all the time, but you can't be unserious all the time. And those two right there were such a great dynamic duo amongst the four. You know, it's like the song itself. Raphael is cool but rude, but Leonardo leads. I mean, sometimes you fall into one of those other categories, and so I get it. And that was just a shot in the dark, and sure enough, here we stand.
knocked the nail right on the head there. So I mean, those were my favorite shows. You know, I still have this huge book, this comic book collection of old Marvel stuff from the early 90s.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's not worth anything now because I mean,
the memories are priceless. But again, on the marketplace, they could care less about those.
And so I look at it every now and then. You know, my son, he's seven. He's not interested in any of that. So I was like, this is dad's.
This is mine.
and so you know, I look at it every now and then. I'm like, look, there's Thanos. Oh, there's.
Yeah. You know, what Thanos is now versus what he used to be. Exactly. Yeah. You can do the comparison across the years. Exactly.
And so I like going back and seeing the origin of stuff and how they develop over time into where they're at right now. I love that. And I think what Disney is doing now with, you know, having Marvel and stuff, A+.
Awesome. Yeah. I think they've done a good job too, but I've always wondered, like, anybody that did grow up during that time that did embrace the comics or the old TV series, how they truly feel. And I get the mixed reviews on them all the time, but that it's nice to know that you're impressed with it. But I mean, cause honestly I am. And I think why die on that hill? It's going to be what it's going to be anyway. You know, we're just in people with an opinion. How much is that really going to shift?
Yeah.
So other than that, so now we got a chance on that. You know that my sport is mixed martial arts and I can talk MMA all day long, but do you have one that you really follow? And I guess I'll just throw in two questions at the same time. What's your sport that is the one you like to talk? And second of all, do you have a prediction for this Sunday for the big game?
Okay, well, we have yes and yes. So, all right. Okay, so don't make fun of me, Brian, all right? I am a wrestling fan.
There's nothing off limits here, dude. Okay. I know the stories. I just haven't been following it recently. But, dude, I can take you all the way back to the Monday Night Wars, and we can discuss whatever you want. Wrestling, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And so back, you know, early when I told you that I had my speech impediment, I would watch guys in the early 90s do their crazy off-the-wall promos.
Do their promos, yep.
And I would mimic that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what helped me. Brian, my first memory is The Undertaker in the 1991 Survivor Series. That's my first memory.
Yeah, when he walked in with Ted DiBiase. Oh, and not Ted DiBiase. Well, he introduced him and Brother Love came out with him. It wasn't Paul Bearer. See, I know some things from back in the day. And the truth is,
that's my first.
Yeah, one of my guilty pleasures is actually listening to the shoots that are out there. Like what really happen behind the scenes. I guess that's why I still know what goes on, because they'll be discussing those events and giving their real opinion, you know, where the curtain's pulled back and I can kind of look in and go, okay, this is what really happened during that time period instead of what's on the television screen.
That's one of the reasons why I was so happy to move to ESPN, because I'm like, yes, now I have access
right
to these people. And so, you know, I was fortunate enough to interview Bruno Sammartino.
Cool.
You know, DDP, Seth Rollins, nice. Jimmy Hart, Hulk Hogan, you know, all those guys.
Very so cool.
I'm like, man, this is literally like my childhood. And so like, I try not to be a fanboy or get starstruck, but I'm like, I watched you when I was little.
I've got questionnaires for you, but my heart is beating out of my chest right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that was probably the best part of working for, you know, a corporate radio station, was getting those connections. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, wrestling is my quote unquote sport.
Okay. You know,
I would say basketball is a very close second. You know, unfortunately, about Kobe Bryant, that's just heartbreaking. You know,
yes.
I cried a little last night watching the tribute to him.
Absolutely, I can barely breathe during most of this when I look at it. So definitely, this is the Blockhead Nation sending our thoughts and prayers out to the Bryant family and to Kobe's memory, and definitely to his sweet little daughter. That's a chance for that one to go out. I haven't had a chance to do that since my last episode, so got a chance to do it now.
Yes, yeah. Everybody involved, all nine of them, you know, is complete tragedy, and you know, it's sad. So, question for you before I go into the Super Bowl here: do you think the NBA will actually change the logo? Because this was the year that he was supposed to go into the Hall of Fame. So do you think, you know, now that he has passed, do you think that they'll actually change the logo? So Jerry West, the guy, original guy in the logo,
right?
He was like, yes. So
yeah,
what do you think? Do you think they're going to actually do it, or do you think they're going to hold off on changing the logo?
It's hard to say, only because time will tell, and two also that the wound is so fresh in the basketball industry and across the whole world, really, that are grieving about this. I think we fans and the industry and the players need to have a grieving process. And I think it will be handled cordially. I think it'll be handled with respect. And I think it will definitely be handled in a way that we can maintain his memory for many, many years to come. But that my answer is that it's too early for me to give an accurate prediction on that one.
Gotcha. And I feel you, because, you know, everybody is so emotional right now. So they start saying, let's do this right now. Let's do this, you know. So I feel what you're saying. I feel like since that happened, I feel like it has completely overshadowed the Super Bowl.
And in many ways it does. And personally, it's not one that I have a problem with. I'm like, if it does, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be performances that happen tomorrow. And who knows, could Patrick Mahomes be one that would give a moment to thank you, Kobe, for all you did for all athletes? Could there be something that happens with the running backs or the wide receivers? Could there be something that's done in homage to his memory? We don't know at this point. The reason I asked you that is simply because the story that's going on in everywhere in ESPN has been the defense of the 49ers versus the offense of the Chiefs. And that just seems to be the story that's coming at this point. And I'm one of the 98% that's just happy that the Patriots aren't there this year.
So, thank you.
That's the big hang up I was
high
having.
High five. Exactly. Yeah, high five. And so, okay, so hear me out. I'm at a crossroads here, okay? And I'll tell you why. So last year, Patrick Mahomes, he was new. He won me my fantasy league. You know, he was the MVP. You know, and he won me my fantasy league. So I'm like, man, this guy is great. I like him a lot. But rewind a couple of years, and I actually have the audio of me saying this, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Garoppolo left New England,
okay,
I was like, this guy is going to win a Super Bowl. I was like, watch out for Garoppolo, because if there's a reason why they got him out of New England so quickly, they knew something. They knew something. And then, you know, he went to San Francisco. He won their last games, and then the next season started. Then he got injured. So I was like, oh, but if he would have been healthy last year, I really believe they would have got to the Super Bowl last year.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
And so I'm at a crossroads. So I'm like, man, I love Patrick Mahomes. Oh, man, I love Garoppolo and the Niners. So what do I do? So honestly, this is going to be the first Super Bowl where I'm just going to enjoy the game.
Sure. That's how I feel at this point, too. The Blockhead Mansion is just going to sit back and kick our feet up, and we're just going to enjoy the game. And we can finally say that because, again, if a patron wants to if the patrons want to come, you'll be sitting in the stands with everybody else. So, yeah, there you go. That would be my big thing. And I love your mentality that you have there, because that mentality is the same one that I use when I watch MMA. On one of the shows that I did with a friend of mine that was from the Yogi's Podcast Network, Mike Mahoney asked me, who should we be paying attention to in MMA? And one of the names that I brought up, even though it was fresh, it was like a year from where we are now, I said, be watching Israel Adesanya. And he is the middleweight champion of the world right now. It just shows that this is a fast-moving sport. A year ago, nobody cared who Jorge Masvidal was. And now look where he stands at this point. And they just had breaking news that he and Kamaru Usman are going to be fighting for the welterweight title. Just broke as of today. So, as of 252, supposedly. And again, that's when I look at that and I see it across so many of the different online sources I look at, I go, I'm fine with that. I'm just personally going, well, Conor McGregor is supposed to have three more fights according to what he says in 2020. And even though you might want Khabib is supposed to be fighting Tony Ferguson in April for the championship. And then he goes straight into Ramadan. So he is disqualified to be able to be one of your contenders. So who do we got? I was going, is he going to face Masvidal? Is he going to face Justin Gaethje? Who are some other people that are going to come up there? But it's nice to know that you are looking at that and going, pay attention to this guy. And sure enough, it comes to fruition. I was like, pay attention to this guy. And then it becomes to fruition. That happens in MMA too. So I like your mentality because it matches yours truly.
I think with MMA, you were right about Jorge Masvidal because he kind of came out of nowhere. And I think the actual big money, like the money, you know, Dana White is all about the money, is between him and Conor.
Yes. It's very much where it is.
Depending on what weight Conor wants to be at, it's how that's going to play out. And obviously everybody wants to see the rematch between him and Khabib, but I honestly think Khabib will destroy him again.
Because he's definitely comfortable at 170. He just showed that and like I was telling everybody recently is that we had to see – he had to have something up his sleeve that nobody expected, and sure enough, he did. It was those four shoulder strikes. I mentioned that on my other show that normally a shoulder strike is just to give you position so you can get ready to throw. Randy Couture used to do that. He would bump guys. He wouldn't just ram it like a ramming device like he did four times after another and just shock the world and go, where'd that come from? That's why I called on my last show a Hail Mary, and it worked. And I went, that's how he had to do it. He had to get started early and get it done early. And sure enough, now the big money would definitely be him versus Masvidal. For the MMA purists, I can see why the match would be made for the title against him versus Usman. Maybe he's got something else up his sleeve. What about Conor versus Colby Covington? I don't know if that's in the books either. I mean, but Conor can pick who he wants when he wants at this point because he is the golden goose of the industry. So I see why they would do that, and I'm not. But yes, the big moneymaker would be Conor versus Masvidal. Period.
And you mentioned the MMA purist. They want to go strictly based off the rankings, but that's not how Dana White operates. We all know that. That's not how he operates.
It's not.
So he is going to pick whatever he can get the most money out of the fastest. Because just like with MMA, you don't know who your next superstar is going to be. I mean, hell, look at what John Jones did. I mean, he was the best in the world. Up, he got popped again. Up, he got popped again. You can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to strike while the thing iron is hot. And so now Conor McGregor's back. He knocked out Cowboy in 40 seconds. All right, what's the next fight? How am I going to get the biggest pay-per-view buys? All right, let's do him and Masvidal. Let's have Masvidal win his next fight, and let's schedule this next fight.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I'm not going to say that they are on the same level as the Monday Night Wars, but you technically do have a WCW and MMA known as Bellator that is coming up too. And Chris Cyborg just left with Sour Grapes from the UFC from Dana White over to Scott Coker, and now she is the champion of the world over in Bellator. So again, it's one of those, you've got two companies where people can go between and go, if you can't see one here, you got the other one. Anthony Pettis is starting to be on a downward spiral, just like Sergio was. Sergio Pettis goes over to Bellator, and now he's already won his first fight. So I don't like the whole debate about which one is better. We just happen to know which one is the superpower at this point. But it's nice to see. It's nice to see a little bit of a similar Monday Night War starting to concoct. But it's nowhere near like it was in 1996, 1997 with the birth of the NWO. We're probably talking about WWE versus WCW back in maybe 1992 or something like that. That's about as close as I can get. Back when Sting had his really nice blonde hair and when Jake Roberts first comes over and comes and gets in contact with him.
True. Yeah, that's funny. I got one question about Connor for you, okay? Remember how big the fight was with Mayweather, right? How do you feel about if he fights Pacquiao?
I think that is something that is on the table. I think that, again, it comes down to it's a simple phrase of everybody's got a price. And it's one of those how soon are we going to expect it? Because, once again, the media in sports and also anybody like MMA is going to milk any opportunity that they've got to spread this thing out as far as they possibly can. I mean, look how long it took for Pacquiao and Mayweather to finally, you know, touch gloves. And it just comes down.
It's so boring.
Yeah, so exactly. And finally, when you look at it, I will say that when it comes to MMA and boxing, we have to ask the question of which one is more about the money. Yes, MMA has still got its purists, it's still got its sport. But if you look at what's happened with boxing, all you got to do is listen to one of Teddy Atlas's episodes and see how frustrated he is with the sport. But it just comes down to if they're going to make that happen, and I think they possibly could. I think it just comes down to Connor has the ability to say yes and no to whatever he wants at this point, just because he is at the top of the mountain once again with the spike that we just had and for the Golden Goose to return the way he has. You know, whether I like the guy or not, that really doesn't matter. The numbers speak for themselves. So all I can say is if there is going to be one with Pacquiao, let's just see how long the branding and the pay-per-view and allowing for the acid to bottle all the way to the top is going to take, because I don't think we can expect that one instantaneously is my answer at this point.
So I think it'll happen this year if he doesn't get the fight with Masvidal or Khabib.
True. If those fall through the cracks, then I can see that being an option. But it seems like, you know, Connor definitely has been training for MMA. And sure enough, it looks like when it comes to MMA, he's home at this point. So, and again, only time will tell. I know it's an annoying answer, but it's Dana White's answer too, and it's the only answer you've got. Let's just wait and see what happens.
I mean, he's fickle like your middle school kids.
Exactly. So. He's as fickle as the wind too, and it must be nice to have that kind of stature too. It'd be nice to be able to say no to that many people and finally go, you know, I think I'll train for Cowboy Donald Cerrone. I respect him as a veteran. I'll take that one. Again, good for him to take it for Cowboy to give it. But again, he's like, this guy's dangerous. I'm going to have to use a different strategy. And look what kind of person he was during the stare downs and during the press conferences. This was a guy who is way more compressed than he used to be. So I don't know what all changes has happened with him personally either. I don't know if this is a facade or a fugazi yet. Again, my only answer is only time will tell.
True. Well, I look forward to all that coming up.
Exactly. Now, since we have literally hit longer than I expected, you and I were expecting to maybe do a 30-minute show. Man, we've been really rolling out the content with this one, man. But I have to make sure that when my fans come on and they listen to the show, I always make sure that the listeners get one last piece of wisdom and advice. So, Doc, if there was nothing else that they heard from Phil Bird tonight, the podcast doctor, what would be the message you would want to send home with the listeners that are on this show? If it's not pertaining to podcasts, maybe it's pertaining to life, but is there something that you truly stand by that we as the Blockhead Nation do need to hear?
Don't wait.
Okay.
Don't wait. It could be for anything. Don't wait until something is convenient for you, because you only succeed when you're in a period of uncomfortability. So what I mean by that, I'll elaborate a little more for you. Don't wait to go to school, you know, do it. Don't wait to start a podcast. Just do it. Don't wait to try out this new recipe. Just do it. Don't wait to tell this girl that you want to go out with her. Just do it. We don't ever learn anything unless we try. And a lot of times, yes, we fail, but failing is what makes us better. So don't wait, because if I would have waited, I would have never done this. Like I said earlier with the podcast doctor, I wasn't even expecting anything. I just made my Facebook page and I put a bogus picture up there. And then I was like, oh crap. Okay. You know? And so if I would have waited and not done any of this, who knows what would have happened? Then I wouldn't have been, you know, I would have just been complacent and I could have been miserable at ESPN still, you know? So my message to your listeners is to just don't wait.
I like that. Too bad we can't put the swoosh on the other one and just take the Just Do It brand. But nonetheless, it's still, we need to hear that, because I'm sure there's some that are going, man, I just need to hit record. Yes, you do. Hit record. The world needs to hear your voice. They need to hear your message. And you got a great one here tonight. Podcast Doctor Phil, thank you again so much for the time you've taken. I've really enjoyed having this discussion with you, my friend.
It was fantastic. Thank you for having me on, Brian.
You bet. And I'm sure this will be just one of many. I'm sure the sequel can be seen down the road, where the Podcast Doctor will stop in and join us for the Blockhead Hour down in one day. But I will tell you, as we end, guys, make sure that you also go back to my blog and check out my friends over at Five Finger Tees. These guys have the best pop culture, movie-inspired, and ridiculously funny T-shirts that simply won't break the bank. So make sure when you go to my blog, use the link for Five Finger Tees, and when you get to checkout, whatever T-shirt you decide to get, make sure you use the promo code 5OFF. That's all one word, all lowercase, FIVEOFF. Now, all these links will send a commission back to yours truly. You'll be able to see the affiliate disclosure at the top of the blog. When you purchase something, you send a few cents back this way to this little podcast for the dream to continue. And guys, once again, you have heard an awesome, awesome story tonight. And with that, looks like Marcy's wanting to go outside, so I got to take care of the other part of the Blockhead Mansion. Got to make sure her needs are taken care of. And with that, Podcast Doctor Phil Bird, I guess that concludes the consultation. The doctor is now out, but we bid you adieu, my friend.
Bye.
All right, then, and we will see you guys next week on Saturday. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.